Imagine for a moment that there's a secret world all around you. It's a world of hidden objects, barely concealed metal containers that are magnetised and affixed to the underside of fuse boxes or drain pipes. Other times, hidden in the nook of a tree or underneath some scrub. Inside these containers are logbooks, documents and trinkets, all tantalisingly close, but just out of sight. Well, this secret world actually exists. It's the world of geocaching, a growing trend that brings together cutting-edge technology and a love of the outdoors. This is Off Track on ABC RN. I'm Joel Werner. Tens of thousands of Australians are using the web and GPS or Global Positioning System technology to get into geocaching. But what is it? Well, it's a type of digital treasure hunt for objects that have been hidden in the landscape. You'd be surprised by just how many there are. Worldwide, these caches number in the millions. Intrigued yet? Well, come on a bushwalk with a veteran geocacher.
My name's Linda Brashovsky, but my caching name is Tronador.
We set out around Lake Parramatta, west of Sydney, and it's not long before we're zeroing in on our first cache.
We're coming up to one now. The thing is, I've only got 10 metres of accuracy, but this will improve as the longer the GPS sort of stays on.
So it's got a compass needle, and so do you just basically...
I follow the arrow.
Yeah, right. So you put the coordinates in, yep. Get down here, and then just follow the arrow. Well, the arrow's yep. Now pointing out across the body of water that is Lake Parramatta.
Well, if you actually look, we've got 10 metres of accuracy, but the distance, I actually look at this number as well. It's 14 metres, so it's actually not in the body of water.
Right.
We're not going for a swim. It's down there somewhere, so we're going to, probably just here somewhere, we're actually going to come off the main trail. We're going to duck down. We're going to scramble around a bit.
Let's go have a look.
We've now got 4 metres of accuracy, which is much better because we're out of those trees, and it's only 7 metres away. So
right.
It is going to be under here.
Okay.
And remember, the clue is under a rock.
Under a rock. So let's look under the rock.
And I've found it.
Okay.
So if you want to try and find it, I can see it.
Right, well, I'm just looking into this rock. Ah, oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a... Lake Parramatta, please do not remove. So it's like a plastic Tupperware container of sorts.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
There's all kinds of containers that are used. This happens to be a plastic lunchbox type of cache. There are also ammo boxes that are used. So.
It's quite exciting. I mean, I guess this is sort of part of the thrill of geocaching, but we're no more than a metre or two off the main walking track around the lake, and yet there's this quite sizable lunchbox. It's hidden under a rock that most people would walk past and never know was there.
That's right, yeah. You want to hide it in such a way that it's not obvious to the everyday person, then wouldn't even give that a second look, because to them they don't notice that. When you geocache, you become really aware of your surroundings, I find.
All right, well, let's open this one up. Let's see what's in. I'm very curious to see what's inside. Okay,
so what's in here? There's the logbook, so that's what we're going to sign.
Which is in a waterproof bag, which I guess to protect against the elements.
The only thing you don't want to get wet if it leaks is this, because
this
is sort of proof that you've been there. The unspoken rule that most people abide by is that you must sign the logbook, because sometimes you may get to a cache where you can see it, but you can't get to it because you might have to climb a tree. I guess I only say that I did a cache last year. I was in Nepal. I went up to Everest, Mount Everest Base Camp.
Right.
I was at Gokyo Lakes and I got a first to find. Now, first to find means no one had ever found this cache and it had lay unfound for about 2 years. And I found this cache. It was quite hard to find because it was under rocks and there were thousands of rocks. And I'm not just talking about rocks like these. These were all like pebble-like rocks. It could have been anywhere. So anyway, I did end up finding the cache. The only thing is, because it was still quite snowy up there, I could see the cache, I could feel the cache, but I couldn't pull it out of its hidey hole. It had been frozen into a solid, like a block of ice. But I've got a little hand, so I managed to prise the lid open squeeze my hand in, pull the logbook out and put my stamp. And I'll show you what I've got. I've got a little stamp with my caching
Excellent.
Name and I just stamp it.
Yeah, right.
So I was able to claim that as a first to find, even though I couldn't actually get the container out of its block of ice, I still managed to sign my name and sign the log.
That's some dedication to geocaching.
It was. But that's how I play.
And so to claim a find, you do the paperwork and then you go back to the website and you tick a box to say, I've found this cache.
I'll sign the logbook here, and then when I go home later on, I will go back on the cache page and I'll actually sign the log there, which means I'll write a little bit for the cache owner, and then I get my little smiley, and a smiley is just, it's a little happy face, and that just is part of my cache finds. I've found 1,200 and
wow.
something caches, including from both websites, from both gc.com and gca.com.au.
In this cache box, there's a few golf balls, there's a ping pong ball, there's some foreign currency,
key ring,
an elephant key ring. So there's all these trinkets. What are they?
Yeah, these are swaps or swag. So they're trade items, things you can swap for. I don't swap. Some caches have really good stuff for adults, but they tend to be the more hard terrain ones or difficult to get to. A lot of these ones, families come with their children.
Yeah,
so
I was going
to
say, this would be great for a kid because it is like a bit of a treasure chest. You know, I can imagine a kid finding this and digging under the rock and then having, you know, a ball or a key ring to take away. And
Definitely.
So the idea is that you leave something that someone else can take up.
Definitely, yeah. No, kids love this sort of stuff. And in fact, a lot of kids won't go caching with their parents unless they can take something out of the box.
Yeah, right.
But then what the parents obviously try to instill in them, if we take this, then you have to leave something, and it teaches the kids to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not just want everything. So then what we do is we make sure everything goes back where it belongs. You don't just really want to throw a box under a bush and say go find it. That's not the whole point. The whole point is to show people maybe a really nice scenic location. Other reasons that the location may not be so scenic, but the way the person's hidden it is really sneaky and really devious.
How long have you been doing this for, Linda?
I started in November 2005. Back then, it was really, really secret squirrel. Hardly anybody knew about it. I think I read about it in some outdoor magazine, and I thought, oh, well, I'm going to try that. That will teach me how to use my GPS. And it all started from there. I much prefer this environment than urban. I find it's just way too stressful. I have done caches in the city, right in the middle of the city. You're hunting for tiny little nanos with thousands of people around you. I don't find it as enjoyable. You still get a bit of a thrill when you find it. You think, ooh, yeah, I found it, you know, and all these people don't know what I'm looking for. But I don't enjoy the environment, definitely not. But it's just, again, it's a cache, and I get driven by, like, there's something there and I know I can find it, even though the location might not be as good as coming out here.
So Linda Brashovsky might not be into urban geocaching, but a lot of people are. Take Dylan and Julian. These guys scoured the inner city and beyond for caches that the casual observer would never know existed. It's a completely different experience to geocaching in the wilderness. It's mostly done at night time, it's busy, it's a bit hectic, and the pace is frantic.
I'm Dylan, CyberNew3 on the geocaching forums.
Yep, and I'm Julian, HollyMan54.
So what's this one called, Jules?
This one's called Fishhead. And it's in front of the Sydney Fish Market.
Trams, Fish and Eclipse.
This one's called Midway.
I'm presuming because there's a tram nearby, tram station nearby.
No, this one's called Glow Sticks.
And it's slightly more difficult than the previous one.
Generally, obviously, in the city, they're all going to be quite small.
This next one's called Stairway to Deafen. I'm presuming because it's under the highway, it's all the noise that we're going to be hearing.
There. Above a railroad track, above a monorail track, underneath two sets of road.
So it's about 300 metres away. We just have to backtrack a little bit because it's actually on the ground level. We're elevated here.
About 280 metres.
Follow this road up, swing a left.
You got 10 metres.
Yeah, so... and then we follow that for about 100 metres and take a right, and it should bring us straight to it. We're about 260 metres, but it's just a point of navigating around this building.
There's a little motto you can live by. It's called cash hard or die.
Yeah, cash. Cash.
Lovely.
Good instincts, well done.
Beautiful.
Geocaching is an outdoor GPS-based game where people have hidden containers of any shape and size in the real world, and you need to navigate to find them.
Geocaching is just like a hidden world, and it's amazing where you find things and how long things have been there for. I've found caches that have been hidden since 2000, and like the same thing's just been sitting there unnoticed by anybody.
One of the biggest things, I mean, for me personally anyway, is that I've been walking past these things or driving or riding past these things for years, and they've been here this whole time and have had absolutely no idea about it.
So how often do you make it out?
Me? Oh, I try and get out every Saturday and Sunday all day from about 7, 8 o'clock till about 6 or 7 o'clock. If I'm with Julian here, like I often am these days, we will go as long as possible. If that means 24 hours, that means 24 hours.
Right, so how many caches do you expect to find in a 24-hour period?
Well, our record so far in 23 hours is 80.
80 caches?
Yeah. About a month ago now, maybe 3 weeks ago, we cleared out the entire Northern Beaches Peninsula from Mona Vale Road all the way up through the Lighthouse and Palm Beach and so on. We've only got 60 remaining in the whole Northern Beaches, and it's done.
It's just because you keep finding them. It's a lot more difficult if you don't find them, like it's bad on morale, but... once you find something, it keeps you going, and we sort of feed off each other. So, you know, Dylan's energetic, I'm energetic. If he's in a sad mood, like, I'll sort of buzz out. It's all about just seeing different places and going to different areas.
It's addictive. You find one, and you go, oh, the next one's only, like, 200 metres away. And then that one's only, oh, 200 metres away. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's midnight, and you've found 10 more when you only intended to do, like, 2 or 3. I'm a bit of a numbers cacher, I won't lie, and some people don't like that. They like to have the experience only, but I go for numbers. Yeah, there's a bit of competition in there. You see that, you know, the number one finder in Australia has, you know, 12,500 caches that they've done, and they've been to the US to do it, and the number one in the world has 54,500 caches, and they've been doing it since it started. So, I mean, you want to get up there. I guess I was an avid online gamer. So that nature of it sort of appeals to me, having like a game in the real world. And I sort of picked this up after I'd stopped my online gaming. I spent like a good 6 years doing that. So for me, this is kind of like my gaming again, but out in the real world doing something constructive. I mean, some people would say maybe it's not as constructive as it could be. What's the point of going around the world finding these little containers? But, I mean, it gets you out. You're running around. If you want to push your limits, I mean, we're talking about finding 80 in 23 hours. So, I mean, it's all about adventure, pushing the limits, but pushing the limits to with what you feel comfortable.
Yeah, about 2 nights ago, I got a notification from Dylan saying that there was a new cache posted. And I finished work at about 10 o'clock at night and decided to head down to it. I headed down to the cache area and... I was trying to search the area and trying to find the cache, and I had to pull my mag light out. And I was standing there just sort of minding my own business, and all of a sudden I heard, "Stop, don't move." So I turned around and there were two police officers staring at me with their hands on their tasers. And I sort of turned around and said, "Can I help you?" They sort of said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Put down the weapon." And I sort of like moved my mag light out to the side and said, "Look, it's just a mag light," and after a few minutes of sort of heated, frustrating yelling, they sort of believed me. But it was very, like, it was scary at some point, because by one, they took me surprise, they sort of snuck up on me. And two, it was very confronting.
The good thing is, I mean, there's social interaction, which I think every human craves. Everyone wants to do something fun, do something unique and special, and feel a little special and unique within that group. And caching is just another way for people out who love outdoors. You know, maybe they're a little quirky with technology. Hey, maybe they're a little geeky. And if that gets them out of the house, that gets them interacting socially, and that gets them out, like I said, out and about, running around up and down mountains, finding things, pushing themselves in the real world, then it's a good thing.
Dylan, Julian and Linda giving the lowdown on the secretive, obsessive and occasionally geeky world of geocaching. And you've zoned in on the coordinates for Off Track, ABCRN's program about nature, the environment and the outdoors. I'm Joel Werner.